And it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 7.86, down 3 on the open. March, 7.98, down 5 and 3 quarters. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 7.59, down 3 on the open. March, 7.81, down 7. May, 7.62, down 3. July, 6.77, down 4.5 on the open. December corn opened at 387.5, down 2 on the open. March, 404.5, down 1 and 3 quarters. May, at 412.5, down 3 and 3 quarters. July, 421, down 4 and 3 quarters. September, 427.5, down 2. December of next year, 426.5, down 9 and 3 quarters. And March of 2009, 437, down 4.5 on the open. November beans opened at 1025, down 3 on the open. January, 1038, down 3 and a quarter. March, 1054.5, down 1 and 3 quarters. May, 1054, down 5. July, 1060.5, unchanged on the open. And November of next year at 973, up a half. December soybean meal opened at 279, up 60 on the open. January, 280.50, up 70. December soybean oil opened at 44.10, down 5 on the open. January, 44.60, down 1.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
For the livestock of CME Group, December live cattle open at 95.50, up 10 on the open. November feeders open at 107.65, down 10 on the open. December lean hogs open at 51.70, up 27.5 on the open. And February bellies open at 83 even, down 75 on the open. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time looking at the USDA reports that we have this morning, unless you think there's something that's especially pertinent.
Well, I think it's more of a psychology. I think, you know, we've lost the wheat as a supporting factor here and a leading factor to the upside, and now the equities markets, especially the S&P 500, has gone below its 200-day moving average and hit a trend line pretty convincingly. So no question that going into today's report for USDA, our mindset was, Dave, we really wanted to see a definitively bullish report, a nice knockdown in ending stocks for corn and beans for the United States, and we just didn't simply get that, and I think it left us a little bit bitter, a little bit defensive in our mindset, because we're going to have to put more reliance, even more reliance, upon those outside markets, which we really don't want to do at this point. So does this make the grains probably more a seller's market on rallies? We think so, and we think the early indications from both the rhetoric we're getting from Chicago and the voices up there, and also the way the trade's been acting today, is, yeah, that's how it's going to be, especially if you've lost your equities and your wheat. And it puts a lot more pressure on crude oil, quite frankly, and gold to keep us going in terms of an up price trend, because the technicals are getting so overdone. So disappointment's probably the best way we could categorize the USDA report. Nothing material that really hurt us. I think the Chinese increase in wheat by a million metric tons, increase in corn production by 2 million metric tons. Those are issues that may come back to haunt us in terms of trade psychology. Other than that, you know, we got a small, pretty small reduction in European soybeans, a decent reduction in Chinese soybeans. So world soybeans numbers went down almost 3%. That helps, but that's pretty much the wrap up here.
Therefore, lacking any fundamental news in the future in the grain pit of real significance, we continue to look at these outside markets. If we get some rallies back above the 200-day moving average in the Dow and in the S&P, Does that stabilize these grains and perhaps allows us to think about some overhead resistance levels?
Yeah, we really think so, and we'd look at it from a standpoint of what would put the crude high in place, Dave, is what top three things could we think of analytically that would put a high in crude, and you know, look at it from flipping it over, is what could hurt the grain trend rally. And I think number one would be a dollar bottom. Number two would be an OPEC production increase, which we put in our new newsletter. We're just getting out this weekend. We expect that in the next quarter, even though the Department of Energy does not expect that. Probably number three would be another 5% drop in the S&P 500 to those August lows, 5% or more, giving the market the idea that the overall demand is going down and that we're going into a recession. We think that's going to probably have to bleed into the commodities as well. So kind of answering your question, flipping it upside down, that's kind of how we're looking at it.
Why would OPEC increase production if the U.S. dollar is so soft?
Good question. Two reasons. Since the beginning of 06, we've lost 15% in value of the dollar, but the crude oil has gone up about 60 to 65%. So OPEC has monetary incentive to pull more out of the ground. A couple years ago, you couldn't have said that because the dollar was falling faster than the crude oil was going up. Number two would be, why kill the goose that laid the golden egg? You know, why would OPEC want to see $120 barrel oil and see a global economic slowdown and then have to be forced to pump less because the demand is going down? I think we've gotten to that point now where OPEC is very understanding, the Saudis especially, that you get this oil sustained high level. It's not the jags that go up. It's not the sharp rallies that take you higher that kill your demand typically. It's usually the sustained high prices. And when you've got China raising their prices to their people, and you've got places like Burma that are having political overthrows, even France is seeing some protesting going on for their energy prices, I think OPEC's going to wake up to that and realize they better not push too hard on keeping OPEC supplies down, or they're going to kill their demand off here in 2008.
Ben Bernanke, of course, had a statement yesterday, and he was talking about a growth that will slow in the fourth quarter. I wonder, when you looked at that statement, what will have legs?
Probably the gold. I think that's probably where investors are kind of just more or less hand-tied as far as where can I put my money. If dollar assets are not the place to go because the dollar keeps going down on a U.S.-led slowdown, you can't really buy U.S. treasuries. You can't really buy equities with U.S. dollar-denominated companies leading the top 500 Dow companies and the top 50 S&P companies. It really goes back to you can't really get commodities bought here at this stage from a standpoint that at these price levels, a weaker economy and weaker demand is surely going to cause what we've seen in wheat to follow through in other commodity complexes like grains and oil seeds. So what's the place you can go to? Probably gold number one and silver number two. And that's where gold is going to be a really interesting market here this 2008, because it's not going to be a very good leading indicator for us, because you're going to have all kinds of different people coming into it probably for different reasons.
All right. I believe that the last time we talked, or just keeping track of what you've been recommending, you're recommending getting hedged up to around 30 to 40% in 2008 corn, beans, and wheat. Anything that changed based on what you saw today?
Not yet. We're watching that crude oil chart closely because our leading indicator since August has been S&P 500 keeps its support. Crude oil keeps its support. We can keep biding our time and seeing how high is. I think, though, Dave, our psychology and what we've sent out to clients here the last few weeks has been more of a change in terms of sell and defend. Sell it because of the profit you can get on your revenue side. Defend it in case gold does go to $950 or $1,000 an ounce. How is that going to bleed over into the corn and bean market? And so we're getting more simplified as this market gets more complex. And quite honestly, it's making us feel, you know, pretty good to not try and get too complex with this kind of a market.
So if crude oil is replacing the S&P to some degree as a leading indicator, where are you looking at, 93.72 perhaps?
Yeah, and we're going to give it a little bit more cushion than that just so we don't have a jab and then come back around. I think closer to that 92.80, 92.50 level, if we would close, you know, decently below that in a convincing manner, that would break your long-term trend line or one of your long-term trend lines. It would say, okay, you can't have both these happen without stepping on the gas, getting some more 08 hedges in place, and getting some more of your 07 gone, too, because we're still holding on to about half our corn and 20 to 30% of our beans from 07. We've got puts on the corn that we're probably going to have to roll to Marches, depending on how we finish out the week here. And we've got some January bean verticals still in place on the beans. That's probably the number one thing we're going to be looking at if we do lose support in crude, yanking those things off.
Would you go even a little softer? How about the 10-day moving average at 91.03?
That's probably a little bit too low, but somewhere in that 91, 92 level is where we really need to catch this market. It goes back to the old adage, a declining market with increasing open interest. That's going to be real paramount here, especially with all the speculators in the crude oil. Open interest is going to be a leading indicator for us for the next couple, 3 months.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to WILO Urbana in the studio. Focus 580 host David Inge.
Hi, Dave.
On a good Friday, sir.